Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike, next to Johnny, today's topic is one that's near and dear to me. And are we squandering the opportunity of reselling today? And it's a two-part one because I think I've been doing this long enough that any excuse doesn't work for me for you not to take advantage of the opportunity of reselling today. So I guess I'll jump into it first. Johnny didn't know the topic because I could like keep him on his toes, right? So I don't give him the topics ahead of time, even though he tells me when he has a topic, he always gives me a warning. I'm just that not nice
Mike
of a guy.
Makes me work harder for these podcasts.
Yes. And I don't pay him any more money. It's $0.00 in case you were wondering. Squandering the opportunity of reselling. I think about this all the time. Is this too good to be true? I think it is. I mean, the fact that I can sell the junk that I sell for the money I make, it blows my mind away that somebody's willing to pay crazy amounts of money for like a Green Day cassette or like a Bon Jovi cassette or like the stupidest things, and people pay exuberant amounts of money for that. I usually pay 10 cents a quarter, 50 cents. I mean, I think the most I ever paid for a cassette was like $3 and they sold for like $40. I don't know. What's your take on this opportunity of reselling?
Why haven't you started already is my take. On a serious note, no, it's the best opportunity and business in general, but reselling much more so. You don't need to go to business school to start reselling. Anybody can do it. Even if you're not even doing it online, if you're a flea market vendor, I mean, it's the same principle. You're just doing it on analog form without the internet. We're not happy unless we get 20% or more on our stuff that we flip. Can you do that anywhere else outside of reselling and or business? No, you can't even do that in the stock market. Well, it's like letting in the lottery if you're able to do that in a stock market. But you listening here right now can at least, if you know what you're doing, get a minimum of 20% back after all fees, after all expenses on items. But again, you have to know what you're doing. So that requires a little bit of knowledge and skill set. I truly believe right now, at the time of this recording, if you aren't already doing it, you're missing out on the biggest opportunity to get extra money, at least 20% more if you really know what you're doing.
I agree. I think we have to, regardless of what you hear or see out there in the social media podcast realm, saying that people are shopping less online, summer slowed down, yada, yada, yada. It's not what it used to be. The opportunity, I mean, because I look at, I have the facts of my own business and growing this Amazon business over the past 5+ years. And the more I work, the more results I get. It's not like the number of the year doesn't determine my business revenue. The only thing that determines that is the work I'm putting in. And I think that's true to be said in reselling is it doesn't matter what somebody else has got going on. If you're finding the profitable items and listing those items, you can continuously make an endless amount of money. And I know that sounds like scammy. Like it's literally an infinite money hack. The fact you can go buy things for a dollar and sell them for 10 on repeat, you just rinse and repeat.
Right. And I hear the outcries even amongst the community, even outside the community, and people I know. They call eBay feeBay, right? Well, I'm sorry. If you've outpriced yourself because eBay made a fee change or Amazon made a fee change, well, you either have to change your average sale price of the items you're acquiring or sell different types of items. The rules may have changed, but the game is the same. You find items that will indeed sell and will sell profitably. And if some change comes along that makes what you're doing right now not meet those two metrics, you got to change. You're the problem in this scenario, not the platform to sell on. Is it sucky when that happens? Sure it is, but we adapt or get out. And a lot of people choose to get out, unfortunately, but it's literally a place to print your own silly money.
Yeah, it really is. It's, and I don't think it even matters like what you really sell. I think the opportunities there across the board on every platform and every category, even if you sell on Pango Books or Bonanza Books, right? I think the opportunity is there for every single person to make a nice chunk of change. And some people want to make a huge chunk of change, and that is possible as well. All you have to do is put in the work. And I know. I think that's a hurdle people have to accept when it comes to opportunity is with opportunity is going to come a lot of work. And reselling, as much as it is cool, fun to go to thrift stores and dig through people's stuff in garage sales, you have to do the work on the back end for this opportunity. All of a sudden, it's not an opportunity, it's a burden. But that's just because you didn't follow through the whole process. You just enjoy doing one part of it. So you can't say that it sucks, right? Like reselling's dying. If you're really not doing it all the way through, you're not seeing it from beginning to end. You just enjoy one real part of it, which is sourcing in most cases, but listing and everything else, that's not your thing. So you just let it sit there and then you don't think there's any opportunity.
I've not known one reseller to not enjoy the buying part. Everybody enjoys the buying part. I like enjoying the buying part. Mike, do you enjoy the buying part?
Not as much as I used to. It's weird to say that, but like I see thrifting as like business transactions. Like I go in with my scanner and I scan stuff and I'm out of there, dude. I don't really enjoy it. It's cool when I do find like things that kind of like relate to me or like my life or like a crazy profitable item. Like that's cool to me, but like I don't get excited about thrifting, I guess. It's just not my thing. I'm more excited when items sell and when I drop my boxes off at UPS because I know I'm never going to see the DVDs or books again.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. It's kind of gotten stale for me. Every now and then, when something pops big, that's when that burst of excitement goes. But even that feeling, it doesn't last as long as it used to. It used to last all day. Like, oh man, I found a $100 book. How cool is that? Now it's like, oh, that's cool. Whatever. It's like whatever now. And I think we've become jaded, honestly. But outside of that, it's literally. We're literally buying other people, unless you're a new item seller, you're literally buying someone else's trash. They threw it away, they gave it away, or they've moved on, or they passed on. But it's literally somebody considers these items trash. And where it ends up at, the various places you can get this trash at, and then you take said trash, put it online, and it sells for $10, $20, $100, very few instances, thousands of dollars. But the thousands of dollars accumulated with your pile of goods to then convert into actual dollar bills, it's unlimited. It's how much do you want to work? How much money do you want to make? Now, you can make your work harder by the type of items you sell, or easier, again, depending on the type of items you sell. That's a personal choice every business owner, and yes, we're all business owners, even though we've nicknamed ourselves resellers because we resell. We're not new sell, most of us. Some people are. But most of us resell trash. It's literally been thrown out. And you're the trash man. How much trash do you want to gather up? And how much money do you want to make? Do you want the whole truck? You want part of the truck? Or maybe you want a fleet of trucks, right? I mean, the literally have full control of this. You are the one in control.
I know that there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that have been reselling for a lot longer than me and Johnny combined, right? Like a lot of you out there have been doing this for a long, long, long time. But I feel like, the around 10 years of total reselling experience I have, that the excuse train doesn't work no more on me. Like, I don't think any excuse is valid. And I think that's because I've been around so many people that have seen results from all walks of life. So no matter what the excuse is, I don't think it works no more. Like I don't care what somebody's excuse is. I think I have an answer for every single excuse somebody could put down in the comment section below on YouTube. And I would easily be able to debunk that excuse because I feel like I've seen and heard it all over the past 5 years of having a YouTube channel. And I know there's a remedy for every single lame duck excuse that people throw out there.
No, I agree. And we talked about this on the previous episode. In fact, the one we recorded right before this one, it's where's the innovation? I don't even see innovations and excuses. It's the same, I don't know, 15 or less excuses that are out there. Whether it's a health reason or it's seasonal or I don't have enough money. Well, there's a bigger issue. You've been at this while, you don't have enough money. Or I live in a bad area. Again, it's the same 10, 15, 20 excuses that I've hardly ever seen anything new. What I do see sometimes that's new, and I'm excited when I hear about it, is the types of items somebody sells. Every now and then, I'm blown away by that because the people I hang around with, they're either in a couple of various categories: shoes slash clothing, toys, media, and some other ones. But when I hear somebody truly unique, like I heard somebody, I'm not going to count antiques because they're all unique little snowflakes there. But somebody selling like ceramic coffee mugs that are collectible, apparently, and they were showing me the numbers on this. I'm like, wow, there is a market for that, really? Because I always viewed these things as junk, right? So every now and then I see innovation by somebody decide to sell something outside the status norm because I don't hear about it. Doesn't mean there's not a community of resellers for it. It's just me walking across that type of resellers few and far between these days. But every now and then I'm like, that's really cool. And somebody sold like pens and pencils, but like the old kind. And I'm like, that's cool. That's really cool. They're showing me a few of them. I'm like, that's just, I wouldn't even think about that.
I think the another idea we have when it comes to throwing excuses out there, they're just limiting beliefs, but I think a lot of it is because I relate to all the people we've had on the podcast. They sold in all different categories, all different platforms. So what makes, somebody different? Why does somebody have success selling on Poshmark full time, but 95% of other people don't, right? Like it's just an excuse for you to be like, well, I can't, get results on XYZ platform. I think no matter what platform, no matter what category, your excuse that the platform sucks and you don't get sales because of XYZ, it's just an excuse because if you did it the way the platform wants you to do it and you found desirable items, it wouldn't matter the platform, and you would be successful in every single one. And maybe our minds corrupted because we're around like-minded people. We've had successful people on the podcast, but I'm here to tell you, somebody listen to this. If you're the person that isn't successful right now, all you got to do is just level up your business. There's no other way to do it. There's no magic wand. There's no platform that's going to save you. You're the only person that's going to save you. So at the end of the day, your excuse, you are your excuse. You're the reason it's not working. And you can't be the excuse because you're the only person in the business.
I think I have a good answer for your question there. Why doesn't it perform well over on Posh or platform of choice? I think the platforms have a customer set that buy certain things, and they perform better. They all sell, but the frequency and the price point changes from platform to platform. So if you take your, I don't know, Nike hat, which platform bucket does this perform the best? And okay, all Nike hats should be sold on this platform. Now, if you're just the hat guy in general, well, you're probably going to have better results on the generalist platform where you can sell everything, which is indeed eBay. And then you can't send those hats to Amazon, apparently, because it's not new. They don't do used apparel, as far as I'm aware. So, okay. But if Amazon suddenly decided to offer the ability to sell used apparel, maybe Amazon becomes the platform of choice for hats or apparel in general. But right now, you also got to think about that, adjusting markets. What one platform can't do today doesn't mean they won't be able to do tomorrow. But staying over in your lane over here, which has been tried and true for you so far, when that is up again, opportunities come along, well, you should keep your eye out. Or a new platform comes along, should you try what you sell? Maybe it does gangbusters over there for unknown reasons. But again, customer set, I think, has everything to do with it.
I think every time you have an excuse, you should also have to have something to go right along with the excuse. Is a change in your business that you're going to make to try to get different results. So every time you have this excuse in your head of why you're not getting the results you're getting, I want you to also have a change you're going to make in the business to see if you can get better results. I think that would kind of level you out because Let's be real. It's a lot easier to get down on yourself in this business or, have some crazy goal you don't hit in this business than it is to feel like you're riding high, right? Like it's never enough. It's not like you have like a little text message you get like from eBay or Amazon or Poshmark or Mercari or Etsy that says, "You did a great job today. You sold X amount of dollars," right? Nothing's ever enough for resellers. And I think that's another problem is we always feel like, well, I need to do $1,000 a day. And I've realized this that like, shit, I sold $500 a day every day so far this month. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, that's great results. And Johnny's not going to be there to tell me good job, right? Nobody's here to tell you a good job in reselling. So it's a lot easier to get down on yourself and these excuses start to creep in because there's really no like, I'm not sending out certificates or like shaking your hand or giving you a high five when you get good results because you don't think they're good enough when they are.
All right. I mean, think about when we first started. I'll just use eBay as example. You list your handful of items or whatever. Days go by, maybe a week goes by, maybe a couple weeks go by, depending on how much you've listed before you get your first sale. Think about how excited you are where you got your first sale. It's like you're high, right? And then look at us today. Do we care about one sale? Does it have that same lustrous feeling we had once upon a time? No, it doesn't. We're always chasing, I'm going to call it the reseller high. It's never good enough, like you were saying. Nothing compares to those initial feelings, but we want to recapture that. And okay, $500 isn't good enough a day. Now I want $800 and I won't be happy until I get there. And when you get there, there's that initial, yay, I got there. But then you push it the line a bit more. Now I want $1,000 a day. And I think it gets that feeling. Well, unfortunately, I think that feeling just permanently dies at some point, and you're just making money, and that's okay. But realize those feelings, those unsatisfied feelings you have, they're going to get less and less and less the more time you spend in the reselling market. I think the veterans that have been doing this 20 plus years, that feeling is dead in them. They just it doesn't exist anymore. I'm starting to get that way, honestly. Like I it just doesn't matter to me. Yay, sales. The only time I have that is on the negative side when my sales are down, right? And I have these intense negative feelings like I'm doing everything wrong when I've really done nothing wrong. It just happens sometimes. But for that whole day, that 24-hour period, because that's how short of a window this usually is, it's one bad sale day, right? Before lots of good sales days usually come. I'm so hard on myself. And I think that beats you down a lot. And unless you have support or friends around you to tell you, no, it's just the day. Don't worry about it. It's just one sales day.
I used to get so bent out of shape with stuff like that, and now it does not bother me the slightest bit. And you kind of hit it on the head, right? So I have this crazy goal that I want to do $500 in sales a day. I hit that goal, I enjoy it for about 10 seconds, and then my next goal is $1,000 a day, and it's going to take me 6 months to get there. So I'm happy for 10 seconds, and then I'm always chasing this next thing for the next 5, 6 months. It's crazy to me how quick we dismiss the wins in this. And that's where the excuses creep in because you always feel like you're not doing enough. Thankfully for me, I'm A-okay doing what I do. The money I make, I'm perfectly fine with it. I don't want to be the biggest bookseller. I don't want to be the biggest media seller. I don't want to have a warehouse. I've accepted that. But in reselling, it's so hard to just be comfortable with where you're at and the results you're getting because everybody around you. There's always going to be people that are doing more money than me on Amazon. Johnny's always going to make more money every single month than me on Amazon. So that can easily be like, well, I'm never going to be as good enough as Johnny. A lot of people will see it that way, but I don't see it that way at all. And I'm A-okay with that. But it's a hard pill to swallow. It's kind of like a self-realization of what you want from your business and your life. And it's A-okay that you're not always chasing some crazy higher number. You don't always have to be thinking about expanding the business.
Right. And it's really weird. I think in media, especially disc media, it's in the tangible things like we're mentioning, like the warehouse, right? But I think in the disc media land, and this is going to sound funny, and if you're in this boat, you know exactly what I'm talking about. How many masters do you have? Like the big bad boy cleans 50 at a time disc machine. You have one master? Do you have two? Because these things are thousands and thousands of dollars. It's the same as I'm not saying it's intentional, but it's the same. It's a status symbol, right? How many master machine disk cleaning machines do you have? Because they're price tagged, right? Or how many warehouses do you have? There's big price tags attached to that. And I'm not saying the people that are successful and have an abundance of these things are trying to be unmodest or boastful at all. They built up their business. But I think it's a comparison, the measure up comparison. Like, I don't even have one. He has eight. Wow. And you feel inadequate a little bit because you're not at that level or that stage of your business. But you got to realize you can't compare yourself to those people. They've worked the game differently than you, and maybe perhaps even longer than you. And they've had different opportunities and different advantages come their way. And it's hard not to feel inadequate in those scenarios, but if you're planning on the warehouse game or the multiple disk cleaning machine game or forklift or whatever you want to compare, I think it's those tangible assets in the reselling game of the measure of success versus the individual sales. Like, and I think that's foolish. We shouldn't compare ourselves to these other people. Anyway, I'm rambling a little bit. I'll turn it back over to you.
No, you're right, because at the end of the day, I see it all the time, right? Like people spend a lot more money on things than I do, and you have to accept the fact you are who you are, and whatever you want your business to be, the opportunity's there. We said at the beginning, the opportunity, if you want to be the biggest clothing, shoe, vintage seller out there, it is out there for you to start today and start working towards those goals. And it's mind-blowing that any single person, no matter what category, no matter what platform, has the opportunity to be number one in reselling in that category on that platform. Any single person listening to this, if you take the steps to build your business, you can be number one. If you're willing to put in the time, if you're not willing to be a Mike and be okay with, the $10,000 to $15,000 a month in sales, you can be the $1 million a month in sales person if you build your business the right way. And no other thing in the world. No other opportunity in the world is going to present that to you as a single individual. Like, what else can you do and start in the universe that you have a chance of being number one if you put in the time and the effort?
Right. And I was just thinking about something funny. Like, what's the comparison to a disc cleaning machine in books? And it's the conveyor belt. How big is your conveyor belt?
Dude, listen, if somebody talks that kind of nonsense, the first thing you know what, the first thing I'll be straight up with you here. I'll be a little bit of. And getting a little nasty here. First thing I hear when somebody's like, I got a conveyor belt and I got 35 disc cleaning machines, I think to myself, damn, you're probably in a whole bunch of debt and I don't want
Yep.
no parts of it. That's the first thing that comes to my mind when people are flashy with that kind of stuff. I'm like, I guarantee you didn't pay cash for those $15,000 machines, the $100,000 conveyor belt.
Oh yeah. It's like, whoa. Don't ask me how big my conveyor belt is until you take me out to dinner first.
I mean, it is crazy. The opportunities there. Comparisons only lead to excuses for yourself as why you're not good as Johnny, why you're not good as me. You don't have to be me. You don't have to be Johnny. You find out what works for you and get into a comfortable situation. Because what happens here? You spin your tires. It becomes a grind. Reselling is no longer fun. You hate your life. It's so much damn work. You quit the biggest opportunity you had. And I truly believe any single person that started selling on Amazon today, selling used media on Amazon today, can easily make thousands of dollars every single month within 6 months of starting brand new today. I'm talking you open your Amazon account today. I truly believe if you give this 6 months, you can put minimum an extra $1,000 in your bank account within 6 months and do little work, not a lot of work. I don't work a lot. Yes, there's going to be work, but with anything, there's work if you want results. But when it comes to the opportunity to make money and not be, doing manual labor, UPS drivers, trash truck, like what we do isn't hard work. And I'm on the third floor. I had six boxes going out this week to Amazon, and five of them were books. 45-pound boxes of books. They all had to come up the stairs and go back down. That still is not hard work compared to working for somebody else and making somebody else a whole bunch of money. So why wouldn't we all be jumping at this opportunity of reselling and finding stuff for so cheap and selling it? You don't even have to get crazy with it, right? You talk about it all the time. There's not many things in a world where you can go spend a dollar and it becomes a $100 bill. It's magical.
No, it very much is a magical experience. And here's the other thing. And I used to get annoyed by this until we define the three types of resellers in this group, actually. I haven't heard it outside of this group before. We have hobbyists, we have part-timers, and we have full-timers. And I used to get annoyed by people who didn't have, who weren't thinking about opportunity in the full-time level. I've since changed my mind completely on that. It's because in my other group, it was you're either full-time or you're transitioning to full-time. There was no middle ground. Because that's what that group's geared toward. This group is not that way. And just because I was in that bubble for so long, it took me a while to, well, think outside my own little group bubble, right? And thinking about it, okay, they don't want to go for not opportunity. They don't want to go for the intensity that full time has because they have outlying circumstances in their own life, but they're settling for the opportunities that's right for them. That's what gave me some peace of mind and stopped the annoyance that was going in my full time mentality brain. How do they give themselves the most opportunity? And it's usually a dollar amount for those people or an event, like how many vacations I'm taking. And that's okay. What gives you the opportunities to get to there? So for you part-timers and or hobbyists out there, if it's hobby money, it's just extra, we're gonna have a nice meal money, cool. But what gets you that nice meal? Like what, how many steak restaurants do you want to go out to? If that's the lifestyle hobbyist thing you've chosen to do, which is fine. I still think you can think along those lines. What gives you the most opportunity to do that hobbyist thing you like to enjoy doing? I don't have the answers for you, only you can come up with that yourself. So.
I think the excuses stem from unsuccessful business results in reselling, and the only way that changes is by you changing something in your business. There's always going to be things we can do better: processing, sourcing, getting better sources, finding better items. There is always a change we can make to get different results in the business, but you have to do it, and it's harder to do it than it is to cry about it. I mean, that's just the reality of anything. It's a lot easier for me to cry than it is for me to be like, all right, Johnny, I'm gonna go do this instead. Or like, I'm gonna go make this change in my business where I actually am doing something different. And doing something different sometimes is scary because I've never done it this way before. But that's just the reality of reselling. You are the engine, you are the tires, you are the gasoline in the tank. There is nobody else, there is nothing else that's gonna make it work.
Right. It's like traveling down a highway to some location that's 3 hours away. Some guys are going to speed to get there. Some guys are going to drive the speed limit. Some people are going to drive under the speed limit. And then you have those weird people who like to get off every 10 minutes to go use the restroom or something. At the end of the day, everybody's going to get to the destination of their choice, going the pace they want to go. For people like Mike and I, we give advice on how to get there a little faster if you want to go a little faster. But if you don't, I used to care. Now I don't care. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You've chosen how you want to go. You don't want to go that fast or go that route. Perfectly fine. Maybe you want to get on the side road and have an adventure. Cool. But back to the topic of hand of opportunity. The landscape may change. Reselling may change in the near future, but what are you doing right now to give yourself opportunity, which translates to dollars to go do whatever it is you want to do, whether it's to grow your current business, go on those vacations, pay for your kids' college fund. Right now, you can go do that. Nothing is undreamable at present, but if you wait, it may be. I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying it may be. So why wait? Which was a previous podcast.
The possibility excuse is such nonsense, and so many people fall for it, right? Like, well, Johnny, the fees are going to keep going up, so there's no point in me even trying today, right? Like, well, you know what? You could literally walk outside and get struck by lightning on a sunny day with no clouds in the sky. Anything can happen. And it's good that you brought that up because you are basing the opportunity today off what might and probably will never happen, right? The comet's never going to come wipe us out like it did the dinosaurs, or aliens are going to show up and start abducting us, right? Like Mars Attacks. It's just it's never going to happen. And if you let it limit your business today, you're cheating yourself every single time.
Right, you're cheating your bank account. If you got a family, you're cheating your family out of that money, or your children out of that money, or yourself out of that money, or your future dream home out of that money. You may never get that home, is my point. I'm trying to say this calmly. You need to get off your butt, and you need to get to work. And make as much as you can right now to do or achieve, usually with money, whatever it is you want. Because otherwise, you're stuck working your 9 to 5, and you have a great 9 to 5. I don't know why you're listening to this if you are, and you truly love what you do. I don't know how else to put it. You're blowing it. Stop blowing it.
I agree. I think you're right. It's you're passing up a chance to possibly change your financial future, and that's the reason we resell. At least, I mean, I don't want to be around resellers that just sell for fun. I want to be around resellers that are here to make money. So the whole purpose is to make money reselling, at least in me and Johnny's eyes and people we put ourselves around. So if we can capitalize this on today and make as much money as we can, it's like we're in like the machine. You ever see like the game show machines where they put you in as like a wind hurricane and like the dollar bills are flying
Oh,
around?
yeah.
That is literally the life we lead every single day. How much money, when they put us in the machine, can we grab before the machine turns off? That is the equivalent of reselling. If you're willing to bet on yourself, block out the noise, not compare yourself to these crazy people. And listen, Johnny don't know this, but maybe I tell people, yeah, I got a book warehouse down in Texas. If you want to feel like you're cool and you fit in the cool club, then sure, you can tell people you got a storage unit in central Pennsylvania. And if you need photos, just let me know. I'll send you a photo of my storage unit just in case someone's like, no, you don't. Well, here's a photo for you. It's become cool and complacent as a reseller out there, I think. And the people that are winning are the ones doubling down on the opportunity of reselling and realizing, hey, this is crazy. The fact we can do what we do and make the money we can make, why not ramp this up right now? Why not make as much as we possibly can? That's the argument I have is let's take advantage of everything around us. I mean, you don't got to get rich, but let's double, what your goals are today. Let's put a little bit more work in or do something different and take advantage of this stupid opportunity of sending my stuff to Amazon, never seeing it again. Never answering a customer message, never packing a single order. This is like a dream come true. Like I remember when I first started, I went to my first thrift store. I remember me and Deb, I didn't have the fancy Bluetooth scanner, right? I'm just out there with my phone scanning books. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like it's foolproof. I just scan the things on my phone. It tells me whether or not to buy the item. And it shows me how much money I'm going to make. Like, I don't even like, is this legal? Like, I'm like, how is this even legal? This is too easy. Here I am years later, and it still blows my mind. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, what a crazy life we lead, Johnny. The fact we have, between both of us, over 20,000 items sitting at Amazon somewhere that somebody's going to pick, pack, ship to customers for us. And all we do is put them in a box, slap a label on them. And every day or every 2 weeks, a little birdie shows up outside our window with a nice paycheck of thousands of dollars.
Buy item, pack item, ship item, collect money. That's our job.
It's like a Disney movie. It's too good to be true, dude. It's like, the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory. That's kind of what me and Johnny do with media. And it's not just, you don't even got to be crazy like Johnny and have the warehouse. You don't got to be crazy like me and have a storage unit and have a YouTube channel. We have so many success stories from people that you wouldn't even think have Amazon business if you passed them on the street and sold media, and they're making hundreds, $1,000 a month doing this part-time as extra income. And a lot of them are, older folks, and they're crushing the game. And I'm just like, you go get it. It's all out there for the taking. And I love when I see results from people you don't expect. Like, you would never expect, some of these people we have, I won't give names, but like, we got some older ladies that are crushing it. I'm like, listen, this is insane that they're putting up these types of numbers and not putting in that much work, because they take it and treat it like a business when they're involved in it, whether that's 5 hours a week or 10 hours a week. That's how they get the results, and they've seen the opportunity. They know it's still there. So why not take advantage of it?
So I'm gonna speak on the person that just maybe starting out. You're in your single one bedroom apartment and most of it's taken up by your inventory. And you're just now getting the point of maybe getting a storage unit or maybe a bigger apartment or two bedrooms. So you could have one bedroom dedicated to your business or a house. If that's the dream you're wanting to chase and continue to grow your business, you're doing the right thing. You're taking advantage of the opportunities and you're doing it in a safe way. But just because you see Mike over there with his storage unit or me with my warehouse, do not feel inadequate. You're doing the right thing, and do not compare yourself to him, I, or the conveyor belt guy. Show me your conveyor belt. How big is it, right? Screw it. You do you, and you're going to be successful doing it the way you're choosing to do it.
I'll go first on this, but I want to know what I need an excuse from you on why you don't do something in your business, but I'll go first.
Okay.
Excuse why I don't spend more than 20, 25 hours a week in my business. Lame excuse. I'll be straight up with you, but it's an excuse, right? I got other things going on, right? I'm doing other income producing things outside of reselling. And the argument to that is, you all can, tell me down below that, hey, well, who cares? Find more time. There's always more time. And you're 100% right. Johnny could sit here and tell me till he's blue in the face, Mike, you got more time. Sit down, look at your schedule, figure out an extra half day you can go out and source. There's always more time for it. So it's my excuse. Can you all debunk my excuse? Yeah, Johnny debunks it on a weekly basis. But hey, I need some kind of card I can pull out and say, hey, this is why I can't do it, Johnny. Like, I got to have that excuse. And that's just the reality of it. We're all going to have different challenges and different excuses. And I just gave you one that I give all the time of why I'm not in my Amazon business 40 hours a week. And at the end of the day, is it a valid excuse? No, but will I continue to use it? You better believe it.
So, why don't I hire employees and why do I work so long? I want to make sure my business is correct before I bring people in and plow forward. And I just recently settled on that my business is mostly correct. There's a few questions going on. Plus, I'm moving into a warehouse. Like the scope I'm doing, I may narrow down next year and probably will narrow down even further. But just this year, I decided this is the course I need to go, and it's just full steam ahead. Now, I have to move in order to bring on the new people because it's a hard ass to have people. Hey, you want to move too when they're already established? Those kind of employees are few and far between, I'm afraid. So that's the reason for my waiting. And being around Mike, and he may take this as a knock, but not really. It's not meant to be. I need to relax a little bit more and enjoy life a little bit more because I love working all the time. It's like, I'm not kidding when I say I love it. I truly do love working. I always have. Workaholic, but I get the point. I would just need to relax and enjoy life a little bit more, or else I miss out on the whole life and I've just worked all my life. But again, I do love working. I truly do.
I think we're gonna start doing like we're gonna plan to watch movies together, right? So I'll call you on the phone and we'll hit play at the same time because he's 100% correct, right? Like his excuse is he wants to work as much as he can today, so maybe down the road there's a chance he can step back from the business and have that freedom.
Yes.
And he's nuts, and I tell him all the time, just like he tells me to work more, I tell him to work less. And these are the cards we hold and wave in each other's faces. And it's tough to kind of find the balancing act and block out the noise. And we're always going to have something going on. Everybody's life has something going on, whether that's moving, taking care of a loved one, a child, a cat, a dog, a ferret, an alligator, whatever type of pet you may have. We all have different things in life, and don't see them as l limiting factors in your business. We can work around these things. I mean, we're talking about, going out and sourcing items, How many people work from home, source items from home, and sell them online? They never even have to leave their house, right? The excuses have to stop, in my opinion, and I do 100% believe that. I've been doing this long enough that no excuse is valid anymore. No matter what type of disability you have, and no matter what type of situation you're in, I've heard and I've seen it all, and I've seen people successful with the same excuse somebody gave me. I've seen five other people successful that have the same exact situation or similar situations. You just have to be willing to put the time in the business and see this crazy opportunity of reselling today for what it is. It's a way to print money. Johnny just said it. Sure, it takes a little bit of money to get started, but this snowball effect of starting with $100 and the snowball is rolling down the hill, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as long as you are consistent.
Here's another thing to take in. If you want to make $1 million a year in this business, do you have at least $1 million in listed inventory up for sale right now? You're going to need more than that because that's not clear. That's just listed $1 million worth. So if truly your goal is to make X dollar amount, do you have at least that number listed today? If not, at least get to that first point to then figure out how many more additional things you need to list or box up on an annual basis to achieve your personal financial goal. Because unless you see those values, you'll never get there. So know your numbers.
Yeah, creating unattainable goals just leads to excuses and you not doing anything. I think you got to be realistic. Sure, I want to make $3 trillion, but if you got $1,000 in inventory listed, like you're
You'll get
never,
there.
yeah. And there's something to be said about getting results and hitting goals that are actually, attainable within the time frame you set, because we all set these crazy goals, right? Like you kind of just said, like $1 million, or like the one you always talk about is like 100K a year, right? Like that's like, oh my God, yeah. I'm a six-figure reseller. Oh my God, I'm so famous, Johnny. I walk down the block, I got paparazzi chasing me. I'm trying to eat spaghetti at the restaurant, and they're like snapping photos. That's not the case. You have to set realistic goals and expectations, and not achieving them doesn't mean you have to create an excuse for why you didn't get there. It doesn't have to be an excuse. It can be, okay, here's why I didn't get there. This is not an excuse. This is exactly why I didn't get to my goal, and here's how I plan to fix it. That's not an excuse. That's a realization of where you missed and how you missed the goal. The excuse is, well, I couldn't go out because I wasn't feeling good. That's the excuse. But the real answer is, well, I just didn't source enough, and I'm going to source more going forward.
And here's a different, probably more a number to think about. If you're wanting to retire and you need, I don't know, $7.5 million and you're only putting $50,000 a year into savings from your business, you're not going to make it. You're never going to be able to retire. So whatever your retirement goal is, what's that number? What do you need to do in your business to get to that number? Is it listing more, getting better items? Maybe you do need to go the warehouse route, or maybe you do need to go the employee route, or maybe it's this. Whatever this is for your personal retirement goals, that's the number to hone in on, and for you as the business owner to figure out the pathway to get there.
We're going to have to do a whole episode on this because it always comes to my mind. I am a man of simple, basic math, not the magical math a lot of people just kind of whip up in their minds. If the numbers don't number compute, then it doesn't matter, right? Like
No, I
one.
love that. If the numbers don't number, this you need to make a bumper sticker. That's brilliant.
It's true. 1 + 1 every time equals two.
Yeah.
For some reason in the reselling world, we have these crazy ideas and numbers and equations, and it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't, you're never going to get there. Like it, this is the math problem has an answer, and the answer is the correct answer every single time. So if you don't have the equation set, the answer is going to be the answer. If you don't have the right parts of the equation, it doesn't matter. But in the reselling world, we're all crazy and we all have these crazy ideas and numbers that we think we're going to attain, but we don't even have the first digit of the equation in order to even start building to the answer we want to get.
100%. I agree with everything you just said. And I love if the number doesn't number. I'm going to use that from now on. That's great.
It's true. It's true. first one to tell you, I listen to the Ramsey podcast and I'm driving around the thrift stores, and he says it all the time. The math is the math, right? Like, if you want X amount of dollars in retirement, then you got to invest X amount. There's no other path forward. Like,
Yeah, if you need to put in $10,000 for X amount of years, will you reach your goal? No, maybe it's 20. No, 30. Hey, we did it at 30. At $30,000 a year, based off my time frame, gets me there. I don't care how many pieces of scratch paper you need to figure this out, as long as you figure it out and then go execute and do it. That's your job.
yeah, I agree. I'm going to wrap it up here with the idea that opportunity is everywhere. The biggest opportunity in reselling is today. And the craziest part about that is you don't have to spend a lot of money to get started. And that's the huge benefit. That's why a lot of people start reselling, is the capital in the beginning can be little to none. And you can turn this business into a beautiful thing that can make you tens, hundreds, millions of dollars if you just put in the time and the effort. So yeah, Johnny, give me your last thoughts on capitalizing today on opportunity and reselling.
Don't blow the opportunity today because it may not be there tomorrow for you.
There you go. The comet may come, and if it does, I'm just going to move to Texas. Johnny's got an underground bunker somewhere, hopefully. I mean, I don't know. He makes all this money apparently selling on Amazon. I don't know. I've never seen his numbers, so.
It's a missile silo compound, to be honest, but yeah.
All right, fair enough. We'll talk to you all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.